Thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we're not living here the same way as we have come. Thank you for speaking through me, for I am but a child, Lord. Thank you for grace to rightly divide your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as you pour forth upon us the spirit of revelation, knowledge of your glory, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, your power and might, counsel and fear of God. Lord of lords, thank you as you make us to understand and know you, Lord. Thank you for moving us forward in every area of our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your touch from heaven upon every household in this church. Lord, we give all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And everyone says amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. And please let's open to 1 Chronicles. We give God all the glory. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And we are going to zero down to verse 9. Please let's read it. Are we all there? Please say amen. Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, King of glory. Okay, are we all there? Okay, let's go. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Amen. Please let's read it again. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Amen. In Jesus' name. If we look at that verse, we will see some very great things which David was praying for his son. And we thank God that the same apply to us. We are sons of God in Christ Jesus. And so you can see that God wants us to serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind together. You can see the perfect heart and a willing mind together. The perfect heart is also called the humble heart. It is also called the willing heart. It is also called the right heart. So we see the Lord wants us to serve him with a willing heart. Willingness of heart is very, very important, along with willingness of mind together. And we have seen it that the Lord searched the hearts and he searched the mind too. For he knows the thoughts of our mind. He knows what is in our heart and our mind. So we can see it is very, very important for us to make sure that our heart is right or perfect, to make that choice to have the willingness of heart and the willingness of mind to serve our God. And of course, a willing heart is a heart that wants the will of God in every area of life. Wants the will of God to do. The word of God is the word of the will of God. In other words, to obey God, to want to obey God is willingness of heart. To want to obey God, to want the will or the plans of God for your life alone is the willingness of heart the word of God is talking about. And of course, the same willingness in the mind is important. It is very, very essential for us to know that God looks at the heart. He tries the reins of the heart. He tries the rein of the mind. What is the driving force? What is driving our heart? Is it to have the will of God, to do the will of God, which is obedient to the word of God, or just to do our own thing, or just to live according to lust? We have to understand in God's kingdom, the will of God is very important. We have to have the will of God. The will of God is part and parcel of our daily bread. The will of God is what is done in God's kingdom. And so it is very, very important for us to realize that we have to serve our God with a heart that wants His will to do, to have, and with a mind that is after His will to do and to have in every area of our lives. Let's give Him all the glory. Please, let's turn to the next chapter, and we will see that as a congregation, the Lord wants to prepare our heart. You see, all these things, once we've made the choice to be of a willing heart and mind, God does these things so that we don't try to do it in the flesh. Please, let's first read 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let's look at verse 9. Please, let's go. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You can see they brought offerings to God with a willing heart. And I tell you, it is the same willingness of heart, the perfect heart, that God wants us to use in bringing our tithe and offering, and in doing the word of God daily in every area of our lives. If we are still arguing about obedience to God, it is because our heart is not willing. Our heart is not perfect towards God. Let's drop down to verse 17 to 19. Please, let's go. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hath pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. So again, we see the perfect, the willing heart. In God's kingdom, it is for us to realize the perfect heart is important. Don't let our heart be far from Him. We may be honoring Him, going through the motions with our lips and actions, but we have to make sure our heart is willing to do the will of God, is willing to have the will of God, and of course, ask for grace to do the will of God and to embrace the will of God in every area of our lives. And so again, we see the Lord is willing to prepare our hearts. Once we make that choice, Lord, we want to obey You, He knows how to do it. Once we make the choice that we want the will of God at all times. He knows how to do it when we ask Him to help us. Help us if we are finding it difficult to do the will of God. We can always ask Him for help, having chosen to do the will of God. And so you can see that willingness of heart and mind is very important in God's kingdom. And God loves to prepare the heart and the soul of His people. Please let's open to Psalm 51, and then we will see again David himself, who prayed for his son, was also praying through the Holy Spirit for himself too. Psalm 51, verse 10. Please let's read it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's go again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Please let's open to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And we see again the mind. The Lord wants us to be willing in our minds. He wants us to be willing in our heart in serving Him. Please let's read verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2. Please let's go. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See again, He wants to work on our soul. He wants to work in our lives. God is at work in our lives. He's at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We have to understand that the work of God did not stop when we accepted Christ. In fact, it has to continue. He is at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He wants to help us to prepare our hearts. He wants us to serve Him with willingness of heart. He wants to help us in our soul to serve Him with willingness of mind, the willingness of soul. Yes, we are born again, but He will not force us to be willing in our spirit. We have to understand these basic things. We are born again, yes, but He will not force our spirit to submit to Him. He will not force you and I to submit to Him. He wants us to humble ourselves, to make that choice, to submit to God, to humble ourselves. As James chapter 4 from verse 6 to 10 says, He wants us to submit the heart to Him willingly, wanting His will and wanting to obey Him. We have to make that choice, and then He will help us. And please let's lay a bit of foundation for us to understand some basic things. I have prepared, by the grace of God, this little thing. I hope it looks nice. But look, when God created Adam and Eve, He created him perfect. Okay, help me tie it there. Okay, thank you so much. He created you and I. We were in the loins of our first parent. We were in their loins, perfect. Everything about us was perfect. But God gave us the power of choice. He gave us the power of choice. So when He made us, the spirit, soul, and body were perfect till sin
came in. So when he made us all the first time in that garden, we were all perfect, pure, spirit, soul, and body, pure, no sin, nothing. But when Adam and Eve sinned, the situation changed. The situation changed. The spirit, soul, and body became what? Corrupted, sinful, darkened, lost for lies. The evil ways came and entered into the system of man because of the Adamic sin. We submitted to the lies of the devil, and lust of lies came into the lives of man, spirit, soul, and body. But now we are born again. We thank God that Christ paid the price. We are now born again, and the spirit man changed. See, the spirit man now is new, whole. But remember, the soul and the body is still the same. So you see the corruption, the sinful nature still in the soul and the body. But the spirit man is changed, is new, is created in the image of God. But remember, the spirit man is a baby spirit, baby. And you know, a newborn baby in the natural is what? Helpless. Same way too, baby gods, you and I. And we know what the scriptures says. Please, let's open to 1 Peter and let's see. So, we have to understand that the baby God needs the word of God. We have to allow him to continue to work on our hearts. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read verse 2. Please, let's go. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Please, let's read it again. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow nearby. So this spirit, the baby spirit, needs to grow into the fullness, needs to be filled with the glory of God. Yes, the spirit of God, the glory of God is dwelling on the inside, but it needs to be filled in the substance with the glory of God. It needs to grow into full God. As he is, so are we in this world. So we need for him to continue to work in our heart. And part of that work is to make us to see the word of God, the word of the will of God, and then for us to be willing, as we are knowing the word of God, we have a choice to be willing to have the word of God done in our lives, willing to live according to the word of God, willing to have the will of God in every area of our lives. For God had planned for you and I. The plans for God for days on the face of the earth, he has planned for them. For you and I is all hid in Christ. We have to make the choice and be willing to have God's plans for our lives. Those are things. We have to make the choice to be willing to obey the word of God. Those are the choice. But when we make the choices, the Holy Spirit knows how to renew the right spirit in us. He knows the work that needs to be done in our lives. And then we also have to understand the great work that he needs to do concerning the soul and the body together. We have to understand that this baby needs to grow. If that baby, if he's not growing, the soul and the body will be controlling the choices. We have to understand that the soul is the seat of the flesh, and so we will be living in a fleshly way. We will be carnal Christians, not obeying the word of God, and yet we are born again. So we have to understand these things. And so the word of God and the Spirit of God is available to also work in our soul. It is available to also work in our soul. And the goal is to make us willing in our soul too. Willing to have the will of God. Willing to obey God. Willing to believe God. In other words, the spirit will be willing. The soul too will be willing. The spirit is willing to obey God. The soul too is willing to obey God. But we have to get to this level by the word and the spirit of God. So if you and I, if we are not continuing to study the word of God, there is nothing God can do in our lives. And yet we'll be saying we are Christians. But because the soul is contrary to the things of God, we will not be able to benefit from God. We will not be able to receive anything from God. Please, let's open to James chapter 1. So we see how by our negligence, we have not allowed God to continue to work in our lives. Yes, he's in us. He has a lot of work to do in our lives to make the spirit man to grow and become a matured spirit, and to make the soul clean, removing the lust, the sinfulness from the soul, making the soul new, and of course the body to cleanse it with pure water, to make it to be free from the lust. Remember, the lust comes from the devil. Please, let's read James chapter 1 from verse 6 to 8. Please, let's go. Okay, from verse 5. Please, let's go. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. See a great key. The mind, if it's not dealt with, will be behaving, doubting, double-minded, is not lined up with the spirit man. And so when we still have an unrenewed soul, when we are not looking into the word of God, the mind will always be a hindrance to our receiving help from God. We have to understand. And so now we realize why the soul, the mind, has to be made willing. An unwilling mind is a double-minded mind and is a doubtful mind and is wavering. And when we are praying, it will be in the way. And we know that God, who heareth prayers, will search the heart and the mind. We have read it. He will search our minds. He will search our heart. So we see that if we don't allow the word of the Spirit of God to work on our soul as well as our heart, there will be problems. We won't be able to receive the best from God. Please let's open to John chapter 8, verse 44, so that we see how or where the lust of the mind, the lust of the body, we will see why we need to be looking into the Word of God daily, praying to Him, and we come to church to hear the Word of God. We will see that we need to get rid of the lust. Every one of us, when man sinned, lust came into the system through the devil. But we thank God that our spirit man, the root of sin, is dead now. We are born again, a new spirit man. But we need to allow Him to continue to walk in our lives. As the spirit man is maturing, growing, as we are hearing the word of God, the soul too at the same time is being cleansed. The body too is being washed. So if we are not looking into the word of God, our spirit man will remain baby. Yes, it is born again. It will not grow. And the soul will remain in a falling state, and the body too in that falling state. The soul and the body will be filled or will still have their lust. And such a life is still living by lies. And so lust will still fill the soul and the body. And if we remain in that state for a very long time, it will likely reinfect the spirit man, and it will be our fault. Please let's read John chapter 8, verse 44. Please let's go. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen. Now, see a great key. Lust is of the devil and the lies. So, when he speaks lies, lust is flowing forth from him. When we are hearing wrong things, it is the lust of the devil flowing. Lust means what? That evil love for things contrary to the word of God. The intensive desire for things in the physical, like the love of money, you know, cars and all what. It is the lust of the lies of the devil. So we see where lust comes from. It is also called corruption, and it is also called death. God is life, so anything the devil does is death. In other words, such a situation where it is a, okay, let me use the desert to describe. Nothing good grows there, isn't it? Okay. So now we see what death does to man. And so we have to understand that we need to allow the Word of God to get rid of the death in the soul and the body. We are now alive in the spirit through Christ. But remember, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So we see how lust cropped up or came into the system. When we sinned, death came. But now Christ brought life, and our spirit man is alive. But we need to remove the death, the lust. Another word for lust is death. The death of the soul and the death of the body. We need to remove it by the word of life. The word of life will cleanse the soul. It will cleanse the body of the death or the lust. It will kill, it will mortify the lust of the soul, the death of the soul. It will make the soul alive. For when death is being removed from the soul and the body, the life of God will flow in. The life of God will flow in. The soul will start to be alive, and the soul will be able to think as God thinks, and will start to have the manifestation of the mind of Christ, the sound mind. And the word of God is also called the word of soundness. And it is also called the word of life. So we see why you and I, we need the word of life. Daily, we need to be looking into the word of God. If we want life to fill our hearts, if we want to grow in the life of God, we cannot do it without the Word of God and the Spirit of God together. If we want our soul to become alive, we cannot do it without the Word of God. If we want our bodies to be cleansed of the death in it and have the God kind of life, we need to look into the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have life and have it more in abundance. He wants his life to fill our heart, soul, and body. He wants every area of our lives to be alive in him, the God kind of life. And so we truly have to understand the divine work in our lives and submit ourselves to it. If there is no willingness in the heart and soul, we can't receive anything from God. We have to understand these basic things. And so, if we continue in the Word of God, guess what? This death, the sinfulness, the lust, will be what? Crucified, mortified, removed from the soul, and life will fill the soul. Please, let's open to Ephesians. Let's first look at Romans chapter 8 from verse 11 to 13. And then we will look at Galatians chapter 5. So we have to understand that as long as we don't look into the Word of God and we come to church and pray, the flesh and the body will be at war with our spirit man. If we don't allow death to be cleansed from our soul and the body, the flesh or the lust will be at war with our spirit man. Even if the spirit man wants to do right, the flesh and the soul, the soul, which is the seat of the flesh, the lust will be lusting after things of lies, the things of the world. But the spirit man will want things of God. So we need the word of God to take care of the soul and the body. So it is up to you and I to always be looking into the word of God daily at home and pray daily. And then we come to church to hear the word of God and pray together. Please let's read Romans chapter 8 from verse 11 to 13. Please let's go. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, see a key. Mortification of the lust, the death. Cleansing, sanctification of the soul and the mind is important so that we receive the life of God. It is the Holy Spirit through the word. The words we are hearing filled with the Spirit of God will be cleansing the soul, cleansing the mind, cleansing the body. This must be ongoing in our lives. And at the same time, the spirit man is growing, being receiving life, growing into the fullness of God. So we have to understand these things. Let's open to Galatians chapter 5. So that you realize God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But you have to be co-laborers with him. Submit yourself to the work of God by reading your Bible, making the choice to have the will of God, making the choice to do the will of God. Galatians 5, please let's read verse 24 together. Please let's go. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Please let's go again. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So we see a great key. We cannot do it on our own. It's the Holy Spirit. The flesh there represents the system of lust that is controlling the soul and the body. The seat of the flesh is the soul. So now what we need to do to understand, as the spirit is free from the devil, we also need our soul to be free from the devil. We also need our soul to be free. How? The cleansing of lust away from the soul. We also need to understand we need to be saved in our soul. The scripture speaks of we receiving the end of our faith, which is what? The salvation of the soul. That is what we've been talking about. When the soul becomes willing, when the soul becomes at peace, in situations of life, you have received the salvation of your soul. When the soul does not doubt the word of God, when there is no double-mindedness, you have received the salvation of the soul. The lust is cleansed away from it. We have to understand that if we don't renew our soul with the word of God, the soul and the body will be driving us to do negative things, Please let's open to James chapter 4. We have to understand. Please let's take it from from chapter 3, and then we will understand chapter 3 from verse 14. Okay, let's go. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's drop down to chapter 4 now. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. See a great key. The lust. The lust of the mind and the body is always, if we don't allow the word of God to help us to cleanse it, cleanse our mind and our bodies from the lust, the sinful nature, the death, it will be driving us to do wrong things. Yes, we are born again, but it is our fault. We have not continued in the word of God. Please, let's open to John chapter 8. And so, we have not allowed him to set us free in our soul and bodies. Yes, we have liberty in the spirit man, but the work of God has to continue in the soul and body. Even the work of God has to continue in the spirit man. The spirit man has to grow. Can a baby do anything? So now you have a competition of a baby spirit against a seasoned soul and body. Who do you think will win? Of course it's the seasoned soul and body, the seasoned flesh. It is matured in quote in what? Evil doing. But the spirit man, the baby God, is a baby in the righteousness, the goodness of God. It has not learned how to live the good life because we have failed to feed it the word of God. We have failed to continue in the word of God. So that baby God will be under the control of the seasoned flesh, the seasoned soul and body. But please, let's look at John 8. Look at what Christ says to you and I. From verse 31 to 36, please let's go. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin
is the servant of sin. And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. See how liberty, that liberty Christ is speaking about, he's speaking to believers who are already free in the spirit. What is he saying? The soul and the body. We must allow the word of God to set us free, to remove the yoke of sin, the control of sin in the mind and body by the word of God. If you continue in the truth, you will know the truth, and the truth, you know, will what? Set you free. And who is truth? Jesus. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Set our mind, the soul, and the body free from sin. The soul and the body, they are not born again. They are still with the corruption. And so we see liberty setting us free from the sinful nature in the mind. Please let's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 so that we understand these things and are very much encouraged to start and to continue to study the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and do his work, making the spirit man to become mature, and then cleansing the soul from the death, the lust therein, and filling it with life. So also the body, cleansing it from the lust and the death there, and filling it with life. Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more in abundance. He wants us to grow into the fullness of life in the spirit man. He wants our soul to become alive. Remember, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the death in the soul must be removed, and life filled the soul. So also the body. We must be made alive in our soul by the hearing of the word of life. These are things we have to understand so that we'll be quick to read our Bibles at home under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we also come to church to hear the word of God. Please let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 17 to 18. Please let's go. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So again, we see, looking into the word of God, the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit and the Word together. As we are looking daily, life is filling the new born again spirit. It is growing, maturing. At the same time, death or lust is being washed away from the soul and the body, and life is flowing into the soul and the body. We have to understand what God wants for us to what? Line up like this. We started like this, isn't it? And something came up, everything changed, and then the gradual work. Eventually, as he is, so are we on the face of the earth. So we have to understand so as to cooperate with the work of God in our lives. Please let's open to 2 Peter, or is it 1 Peter? And we'll see
the goal, salvation of our soul, setting us free from death. The death of the soul. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Remember? So God wants our soul to be alive, not to remain in death. He gave us his word and his spirit. If we continue, we'll be set free in the soul. And the body too will line up with the soul because we continued. Please let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's zero down to verse 9 and 10. Please let's go. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So we see the scripture speaks of our soul being made alive, being saved from the yoke of the enemy. Please let's open to Matthew chapter 11. You will see our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this too. For us to be set free in our soul, we believers, for the yoke of death, yoke of lust, to be removed from our lives and to have his yoke. Remember, the anointing breaks the yoke, isn't it? Aho. The anointing breaks the yoke, destroys the yoke. But remember, the anointing does things by the word of God. Another word for the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Please let's read Matthew chapter 11. Let's take it from verse 27 to the end. Please let's go. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See a key, the soul there, isn't it? Take the yoke of Christ and you have rest for your soul. What is the Lord saying? He wants us to submit our mind to him. He wants to control our minds. But we have to make a choice. That is the hallmark of a willing mind. A mind submitted to the will of God. A mind under the control of the Holy Spirit. A mind set free from the yoke of sin. A renewed mind. Such a mind will know the will of God. But look at it. Learn, through learning, through hearing the word of life, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The same words we're hearing will be removing the death, crucifying the lust of the soul, the lust of the flesh, the control death has over the soul. Will be cleansed, sanctified, mortified, crucified, put to naught by the Holy Spirit. And then as life is filling the soul, the Holy Spirit is now controlling, is now gaining control of the soul, so that now we're able to understand in our minds the will of God, the things of God. We will be led by the Spirit of God and not by lust. Do we see what the Lord is saying? A soul at rest is a soul at peace. Having the rest and the peace of Christ and having the Lord leading it in obedience. The Lord leading it to live the God kind of life. The will of God is done in that life. So we see the scriptures speaks of you and I being set free, not only in our spirit, but our soul and body. As long as a believer is not looking into the Word of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and come to church to hear the Word of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we pray together, we will remain in carnal nature. The soul will be controlling us. The soul will be contradictory to the things of God in our lives. We will not receive the best from God. Please, let's open to Romans chapter 8 and let's see what the scripture says concerning this. Please, let's take it from verse 5 to verse 8. Please, let's go. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See a key? An unrenewed soul, if you are not looking into the Word of God, you'll be against God. Honestly. And you will think you are right. Even you will be debating the Word of God. An unrenewed soul is a carnal soul, is a fleshly soul, is a soul that is filled with lust of death. It is dead. And it seeks the things of the world. In fact, yes, it is born again in the spirit man, amazingly, it will be contradicting the very words that made it born again. And we see that in Galatians chapter 5, from about verse 16 to 18, the flesh, the lust of the soul. The soul is the seat. The dead soul is the seat of the flesh. And so the soul needs to be renewed. The death or the lust there removed by the Word of God. So that it can start to think and know the will of God. And not argue unnecessarily. And not be against God. So yes, it is possible to be a believer and be against God, because you are not looking into the Word of God. You are not allowing Him to remove the death in the soul. And so the fallen soul will still be functioning deadly. It will still be functioning against God. So we have to understand all these things and allow God to continue His work in our lives. Any question on what we have shared? Please, let's give Him all the glory. Let's thank God for His word. And so, let's thank Him and then start to make that choice that you want your soul to be willing. You want to serve God with a willing heart and a willing mind. You want God to work in your heart, to make your heart willing. you want God to control your heart, and so you are willing to obey him. You are willing to have his plans, his will for your life, and so you hand over your heart into his hands. Also, you want your soul to line up with the word of God, to be willing, and so hand over your soul to him, ask him to help you to make your soul willing, and then ask for grace to number your days so that you will apply your heart unto wisdom. There is no use praying for willingness and you are not reading the Bible daily. It won't work. So you have to also set your heart that no matter what, even if it's a verse a day, you will read it and you will be praying. Simple prayer. Even when you wake up, you can say, Lord, I thank you for keeping me throughout the night in the name of Jesus. That is praying to God. You can say, Lord, I commit the rest of this day into your hands in the name of Jesus. That is praying. Start with simple things. Thanking him for the little things in your life is prayer. And so we see a great key. If you are what? Willing and obedient, you will what? Eat the good of the land. So the heart must be willing. The soul must be what? Willing. And we know, no, he said it. He said, thy people shall be made willing in the day of your power. Please, let's open to it. Psalm 110. So we see he has promised to set us free, not only in our spirit, but in our soul and body, even in the Old Testament. Willingness of heart and willingness of mind and body, every area of our lives is all in the word of God. Psalm 110, let's zero down to verse 2 and 3. Please, let's go. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. So you can see willingness, the power of God according to his word, the word of life. The word of grace of life is available. The Holy Spirit and the word of God to work in our lives, to make us willing, to help us to cleanse our mind, to help us to grow, to help us to know the will of God and the things of God, to help us to make the right choices. It's all there. He's to help you and I. So to read the Bible under the guidance of the Holy Spirit is not for nothing. It is to receive the blessing of God. It is us having his will done in our lives. It is us having a good end, the expected end. And so, please, let's thank him. Let's give him all the glory. And we have made a choice to submit to his work. Just as he has said, we shall be made willing. Yes, we have chosen to be made willing in the day of his power. We thank God that the Holy Spirit is the power of God, and the word of God is the word of his power. And amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give him all the glory. Let's worship our God some more.